Good morning, good evening, everyone. I almost said good morning. I'm so glad to be here. This is such an honor for me to be asked to be the speaker. And I have to say, to be very honest, when Ken first asked me, there was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of fear there. Because, you know, right away, you know, the ego has a comment. And the comment was, what could you possibly say for an hour that would be of interest to anyone? And I kind of laughed at it, and I just said, okay, thanks, you know, thanks for sharing. And so what I recognized it as was an opportunity to continue developing my trust in the Holy Spirit. And so right now I'm going to put a song on. And I would like to, and it's actually a contemplation song, and this is going to prepare us to listen to what Holy Spirit has to say. So with that, I am going to click to my song and enjoy.
I was walking down a lonely road, looking for a place to rest. There was no escaping from this ache inside my chest. Then I got down on my knees and begged for mercy, and I raised up my hands. I knew the answer even as I asked the question of just how much this love demands. And it's everything, nothing less than everything will do. And when everything, I will take these ashes and offer them up to you. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. I was walking down a lonely road, looking for a place to rest. There was no escaping from this ache inside my chest. Then I got down on my knees and begged for mercy, and I raised up my hands. And I knew the answer even as I asked the question, just how much this love demands. And it's everything, everything, nothing less than everything. And when everything is burned, I will take these ashes and offer them up to you. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Everything, nothing less than everything we do.
Hmm. That's how I feel. I live my life in gratitude. And when I think of how grateful I am, such joy. My heart fills with joy. And I can be a little weepy. So I just prayed and I asked, Holy Spirit, what would you have me say? What would you have me say? So I'm really grateful to be here to say, Holy Spirit wants you to know that we are here to practice every present moment awareness. That's what came up for me. So what does that look like? Practice present moment awareness. You know, that meaning that you yearn for, that lives in the ever-present now. What is that? You can ask yourself that. That is self-inquiry. It's to go within. And it's to pause and just relax into that feeling. So I thought we could take a few minutes and invite that experience of the ever, the present moment awareness. So I want you to close your eyes. And let's take a few deep breaths. And when you breathe in, I want you to think of any word that brings you happiness. That could be joy. It could be love. It could be peace. That could be, you know, you could be thinking of a child. It doesn't matter. Whatever you think of, just think of something positive. Yeah, God, it could be anything. Just any word that resonates with you. And so breathe that in. And then breathe out love. And then breathe in peace. And breathe out joy. Give yourself permission while you're breathing. And breathing in your nose, and you're breathing out your mouth. Give yourself permission to be right here. Allow yourself to be right here, right now. Breathe in love and breathe out peace. And for that brief moment, you are practicing the present moment awareness. So this is something that I have been practicing for about over 40 years now. I learned how to meditate when I was in high school. I met this really fun gal. She was very lively, and she literally bounced when she walked. And I just looked at her, and I recognized that's what I wanted. And I asked her, why are you so happy? Why do you smile all the time? And she said, I have a guru. I meditate. I have so much fun. Do you want to come with me? And I said, sure. So I learned a technique of meditation, and I started hanging out with her and started doing things with her, and I basically just, like a new family, emerged in my world. And it was good, you know. It was good at the time. It's exactly what I needed, and I'm very grateful for that experience. So I just thought I would take a few minutes to show you basically what I learned. And so when I was taught, I guess it was called the initiation of knowledge in this group that I was involved with Divine Light Mission is what the organization was called back in the 70s. They would tell you when you're breathing in, there's a sound. And when you breathe out, there's a sound. So when I was asking you to just close your eyes and meditate for a few minutes, I know that it took me a long time. You know, I would say even up to the first year that I learned to meditate, to quiet the mind enough to really experience that present moment, experience that divine, that embracing that divine self. So if you could, again, what we could do is just for a minute, you know, close your eyes. And when you breathe in, do you hear a sound? And when you breathe out, there's a sound. And so that's what I meditated on. That was my mantra. So what I heard was, so when you breathe in, hung when you breathe out. And so that became my mantra. And of course it changed over the years. But that really was the beginning of my self-awareness practice. It was really very, very helpful because, you know, I was finishing up high school. I was going through some different experiences and, quote unquote, trying to find myself and figure out what this life is all about. And, you know, of course, I also experimented with drugs and drinking. And, you know, I mean, there was just all this enmeshed. And when I became friends with this girl and I started meditating and I was going to these satsangs, all these desires dropped away. It was wonderful. It just dropped away. And I replaced any kind of feeling that I had inside, because I was looking, I was still searching outside of myself for that gratification, for that, you know, what we're always searching for is self-acceptance and acceptance from groups, that sense of belonging that we all really, it's really our God-given right, is that sense of belonging. You know, and when we are raised in a family, that's when it starts, that sense of belonging. And when that gets shaken up, and for myself, and again, I'm not going to get too much into a story here. I really want to come from my personal experience of how I have developed this practice I call present moment awareness. I really don't need to get into a story. I just know that the story of my life has gotten me where I am today. I have learned to become very grateful and appreciative and thirsty for knowledge, for peace of mind. For contentment. And of course, I, you know, in the beginning, like I was saying, yes, I definitely looked outside of myself, without a doubt. Even when I was practicing meditation as a teenager, I still looked outside myself. Because that is part of my journey. So one of the other gifts that I have received doing this meditation and this practice for so many years is that I became more thoughtless. And my practice consists of staying present in the moment by going within. It has been my number one practice since my teens. And I have many influences. So I meditated a lot. I mean, there were times after I graduated from high school, because I was 16 when I started to meditate, 15 or 16, and then I graduated when I was 17. And I moved to California after I had been hanging out with my friend for a couple years. And I sought out the group in California, and then I ended up moving into an ashram about, I don't know, 6 months to a year after I moved to California. And my life just became very focused on helping keep the ashram running. So, of course, I worked. I had an outside job, and, you know, all the money that I made was, you know, given to the ashram. And so I did, you know, I was out there in the world, but I just felt there's this element missing. There was something missing. So I was still searching. And my journey brought me back to Cleveland after 3 years of living in California. And I just started to recognize that something wasn't right with this group that I was involved with. Just something was off. And again, it was my inner guide. So I know that today. I didn't know that then. So my inner voice, my inner guide, whatever you want to call it, Holy Spirit, it has many names. But it was that experience, that feeling that I had, that something was not right, and it was time for me to come back to Cleveland. And my sister was also asking me. She was practically begging me to come back and come and hang out with her, and she felt lonely, and family was all over the place. So I thought, okay, I'll come back. And then I met my husband. I don't know, maybe within 3 months of coming back. And we, of course, we didn't get married for 3 years, but I met my husband here in Cleveland. So obviously I was meant to be here. So that's the other thing. I was doing what AA would call the destination cures. You know, you would go somewhere different, thinking that life was going to show up differently. And I started to recognize that I was doing that. And again, I was looking outside myself. But guess what? I took myself wherever I went. So problems still, I was creating problems wherever I was. And so when I came back to Cleveland, you know, within a few years, I got married and started raising a family. And there was still this. My heart was aching. It was just aching. There was just nothing to fulfill it, nothing to fill it up. I had a man who adored me and loved me. Yet it was not enough for me. It just wasn't. I was searching outside myself for whatever it is I was lacking. I did not recognize that all I had to do was go within. And that's okay. It's my journey. So I'm just going to pause here for a minute. Because I did write a few notes just so I could keep on point. The one thing that definitely stands out for me is I'm very grateful to have learned how to meditate early on, because it has helped me to really focus, to stay focused. It has helped me, because I think I may have ADD. I don't know. Sometimes I tend to act like I have ADD. So that has really helped me significantly. Let's see. I'm just looking at my notes real quick, sorry. So, you know, again, I had no prior experience on how to meditate, so the practice became a priority of mine. So I would sit for hour and a half, 2 hours. I would literally sit, and what became very clear to me is the mind wanted to wander, and the mind did wander. So one of my meditation mantras would be, show me the light, show me the truth, help me to see. I just kept my mantras very simple because I needed to focus on something other than allowing the thoughts to run rampant. And then I started to experience my thoughts as clouds. I started to look at my thoughts. And I thought to myself, this is great, because I don't judge a cloud. When I look up in the sky, I don't judge clouds. So just look at your thoughts as a cloud. So I highly suggest, and I welcome you with that idea, that if you are thinking and contemplating on how to sit and meditate for a long period of time, highly recommend that you just look at your thoughts and just observe them as if they were clouds, and just let them pass by. And after a while, you will start to experience the mind-body connecting, and then the thoughts become still. I promise you, they will. No thoughts. More thoughtless. And that has been my experience with, again, my practice of present moment awareness. Yes, Carrie says, subtitles on a movie screen. Exactly. You know, do we judge any of that? Of course we don't. So it's just like that. When your thoughts are coming, and whether you like the thought or not, because it could be a neutral thought. It could be a thought, oh, well, I wonder what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. I mean, it can be anything. Just let the thoughts come and let them go. Don't get stuck. Don't fixate. Don't judge yourself for having a thought. I mean, it is what it is. And that's what we have to allow ourselves to do, is just to embrace that. To embrace your divine self. Because that's really what you truly are, is your divine self. So what does that encompass? You know, what does that mean when I say embrace your divine self? Because, you know, most of us that come into this room, we get that we are much more than these bodies. It took me a long time to wrap my head around that one. But as I started to really develop trust in that divine self, and know that I am my own guru, and then I don't need any teacher. My teacher is within me. It was such a, I can't tell you how joyful it became. Very clear to me that all I have to do is go within. If I have any questions, just go within. Let's see. There's another thing that I was writing down about. To be grateful for absolutely everything, every single thing that is going on. You actually raise your vibration. And as you develop your gratitude thinking, you actually start to see everything as opportunities to forgive and release. And be authentic about that, you know? And this is to rest the mind, to release the negative thoughts, to tap into your inheritance. Just don't beat yourself up. Just notice your thoughts as if they are clouds, like I said, and then think of those thoughts as clouds, and you will become more and more aware of the present moment. So why don't we try that now? Why don't you close your eyes again? I will guide you through a meditation. Again, listen to your breath. Breathe in. And as you become still, bring your awareness to your breathing. Bring your awareness to your heart. And as you continue to feel your breath, as thoughts come and go, you just observe them. Let them go by as if they are clouds drifting. Now feel connected. Just stay in that feeling. You can go beyond that. It's like a sense of knowing. It goes beyond thoughts. And the mind slows down. Stay with this. Bring your awareness back to your breath. And breathe in. And breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. This is an opportunity for silence. To feel how alive you really are. You may want to think about, you know, if you're sitting in a chair, you may want to think about, you know, your feet being on the floor, planted on the floor. And you can bring your awareness up your legs. In your crown, all the way up, just all the way up. Just go to your stomach and then go to your heart. Feel your shoulders. You can just be aware. This will bring you to the now. Keep your awareness on your breathing. Connect your thinking and be more aware of your thoughts. And then to go beyond, if you want to do this in another time of your meditation practice, you can ask yourself, is this thought bringing me closer or farther away from my divine self? This is another technique that I have used. If I have a thought that is not loving or positive, or is helpful in any way, I ask for it to be released. I look at it. I observe it and look at it, and then I ask for the release of it. This is not denying your thoughts and your feelings. It's simply choosing when you're meditating to think only something positive and something nourishing. So I wanted to end that with, you know, you can open your eyes. Thank you so much. Thank you for meditating with me. Another practice that I have been doing for just about 10 years is Ho'oponopono. And I'm thinking that some of you are familiar with that. But for those of you who are not familiar with Ho'oponopono, it's an actual meditation practice, and it was brought from Dr. E. Haleakala Hulen, and he was from Hawaii. And he had a teacher that taught him this, it's called the cleaning process. And it's basically, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in that order. It's whatever you're guided to do. It's just, that's the basic. That's just like a base, basis of information that was passed on. I had the fortunate, I was very fortunate about 10 years ago. Yes, thank you, Lynn, for typing that on the board. I was dog sitting, and actually animal sitting, for a friend for about a week, and she happened to have Joe Vitale's book called Zero Limits, and she also happened to have an unpublished weekend of the first Zero Limit workshop with Dr. Hulen and Joe Vitale, and I listened to that, and I listened to it almost every day for about 3-4 years. I would listen to it at night before I go to sleep. I would listen to it, you know, for like an hour at a time. And I really began to have, it really affected me. My peace of mind, my mind really slowed down. And it basically, what Dr. Hulen describes this process is it literally wipes out data, and it could actually wipe out like centuries of data. It's hard, you know, he explains it so much easier than I do, but this practice has been very instrumental in my peace of mind and in my self-awareness. So it's real simple. That would be another thing that we could practice here for just a few minutes. So it's basically when you have an upset or someone, you know, and you're reacting to a situation, and it could be anything. It could be dealing with your friends, your family, a loved one on any level. It could be a work at work, you know, a coworker, and dealing with traffic, dealing with a stranger in a store. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. What Dr. Hulen suggests you do is you just start practicing. Just start saying, "I'm sorry. I love you. please forgive me. Thank you. And if there's a certain part of that that really resonates with you, go with it. You know, if you just feel like called to say, I'm sorry, for 2-3 minutes, just say that. So it's really a baseline. And what I've heard while listening to these CDs over the past 10 years is Dr. Hulen wants us to discover our own inner guru, our own inner voice. So that's been very, very helpful. So again, you know, I've used this to just wipe out memory of my belief system, even my belief thoughts of another person, in particular with my children and my ex-husband and my parents. It's helped me to clear away any beliefs that I have. And so I can see them as they truly are. And that really is the bottom line, guys. The bottom line for me, what's really helpful for me to feel peaceful and joyful and to be in the moment and to practice my present moment awareness, I'd like to have a clean slate. And that has been very helpful in that as well. And it also, you know, because I'm looking at my notes here, it also helps with taking responsibility. And that's really, really, I think it's pretty important, you know, that we take responsibility for how we show up. We take responsibility for how we feel. We take responsibility for how we react to situations or people or, you know, experiences. And the ultimate goal is to remove those blocks to love's presence, because that is what you are. You are love. We are what, you know, and I loved what Regina was sharing earlier about, you know, the awareness of your divine self with knowing that, you know, someone asked a question about, I wish I could go back. Let's see if I could go back. Someone asked a question. Let's see. Something about the oneness. And she said, you know, if you want to know what it is, I think totality, yeah, is, you know, what is totality? I think she mentioned that it was about if it's changeless and eternal. If Regina, if you're in the room, do you remember what you were referring to? I recognized what she was saying, because I'm starting to really understand that it's all about what we, you know, we have to remove the beliefs and the blocks to love's presence if we are going to really experience our divine self. It's the totality, you know? Okay, Regina writes, what is real? Okay, very, very good. Thank you, Regina. Yes, sometimes I lose train of my own thinking. Yes, what is real? It is no beginning, no ending, and absolutely changeless. You know, when she was talking about that, I was like, yes, I understand that. Because that's what I have searched for my entire life. I wanted to be told and wanted to experience the truth. And I had no idea what that meant. But I knew that that's what my heart wanted more than anything, was to experience truth. So when someone would ask me, so what is your religion? Or, you know, what do you, you know, because I converted to Judaism, and people would say, so are you practicing Jew? And I would say, well, you know, I observe some holidays, but I'm really a lover of truth. I'm a seeker of truth. I didn't like labels. And that's not what we are, you know? Labels do not define us. Okay. So, let's see what else I wrote. I think what I'll do is, I was reading from the course earlier today and something came out at me and I thought maybe I could share a little bit and then I can talk about that. I'm in chapter 13, section 7, Attainment of the Real World. And I'm reading from the first paragraph. Sit quietly and look upon the world you see and tell yourself, in quotes, the real world is not like this, end of quote. It has no buildings and there are no streets where people walk alone and separate. There are no stores where people buy an endless list of things they do not need. It is not lit with artificial light, and night comes not upon it. There is no day that brightens and grows dim. There is no loss. Nothing is there but shines and shines forever. The world you see must be denied, for sight of it is costing you a different kind of vision. You cannot see both worlds, for each of them involves a different kind of seeing and depends on what you cherish. And what do we cherish? And what, you know, it's exactly very similar to what Gina was sharing earlier about the story about the wolf, I think it was, you know. Whatever they focus on, you get more of. So what do we cherish more than anything? And that is the question you can all ask yourselves. Right now, ask that question. What do you cherish more than anything? I cherish peace. I cherish clarity. I cherish gratitude. I really just feel so much gratitude. It really does make a difference in my life. I would much rather have a festival of gratitude than a fest of complaints. When I catch myself complaining, I just turn it around and I go, whoops. And I look at and I just see something completely the opposite. What can I be grateful for today? What can I be grateful for now? You know, there's another very obvious situation in my life. She's my daughter, Sarah. sometimes when I think of her, I get extremely sad. Then there's other times that I know that she is here to help me. We made an agreement together. And when I think of how she struggles just to even get dressed or get out of bed or to go to the bathroom and take a shower, just the simple things that we do take for granted. When I think and I start complaining, all I have to do is think of her sometimes and realize, you know, she made a decision. She made an agreement to come into this lifetime with these struggles. And yet, I can't see her that way. I've had a huge forgiveness and aha moments this year surrounding how I see my daughter. And I don't want the belief that I think she's, you know, got limits. I have to see her as whole and perfect. You know, it took me a long time to get there. A long, long time, because deep down in my heart, there was no way I could see Sarah happy. So again, let's get back to what I read. The sight of one is possible because you have denied the other. And then the sentence before that is the one that I was just talking about. You cannot see both worlds, for each of them involves a different kind of seeing and depends on what you cherish. Both are not true. You either, one will seem as real to you as the moment, as the amount to which you hold it dear. And yet, their power is not the same, because their real attraction to you is unequal. You do not really want the world you see, for it has disappointed you since time began. The homes you built have never sheltered you. The roads you made have led you nowhere. And no city that you built has withstood the crumbling assault of time. Nothing you made but has the mark of death upon it. Hold it not dear, for it is old and tired and ready to return to dust, even as you made it. This aching world has not the power to touch the living world at all. You could not give it that. And so, although you turn in sadness from it, you cannot find it in it the road that leads away from it into another world. So again, this other world is not a physical place. It's in our mind. It's making the decision to see it differently, to see your world differently. So, I hope you guys enjoyed my practice of present moment awareness. I hope you took away something that could be of use and is helpful. Like I said, I've been very grateful, very, very, very grateful to have learned ways to really just begin to scratch the surface of what I know to be true. We're here to help each other. We're here to remember and to remind each other who we are. We are not our stories. We are not the body. What we are is light. Pure light. Your divine self, capital S. Is limitless. Full of joy. Full of joy. Hi guys, I just opened my eyes and I see people writing on the board. Oh, thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Zach. Aw. Kisses right back at you, Lynn. Yeah, Carmen, awesome that you do Ho'oponopono. It's really good stuff. In fact, I guess I should ask, I don't know, I should probably ask Regina and Ken if it's okay. I have these CDs of this wonderful weekend. It was a weekend or a two-day workshop called Zero Limits. And again, it's CDs that I have, and I would love to be able to play them here. Sonia, thank you. All right, Carmen. Carmen, we have to talk, so you got to give me a call. okay, great. Thank you, Regina. Yeah, it's just really good stuff. I haven't heard it for a while because, again, I've had my stuff in storage, and I kind of, I've kind of been going through all my stuff. It's been like Christmas for me, opening up my boxes, going, oh, that's where that is, and that's where that was, and oh, great. Oh, thank you, George. Thank you. Love you guys. I guess I'll end this with a song. I feel like I'm out of words. I just love you so much. I love you guys. Thank you so much, Ken, and Regina and everyone on the Board of Trustees for asking me to be here tonight. This was such an honor. It really was, it is such an honor. And I love being here. I love working for Awakening Together. I'm just very pleased, very, very pleased. And it's just a wonderful experience. All right. Aw, thank you, Regina. I love you. Thank you, Carrie. You guys. All right, it's time for me to put a song on because I'm going to start to cry.
chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey. Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child has got a spy to see if reindeer know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from one to mention. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
Thank you again. I love you guys. Have a good night. Sleep well. And I'll see you tomorrow in Awakening Together at 7 p.m. All right. Bye-bye now for now.